Tides, the high 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning. Let's do this, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield, right there on the other side of the glass, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. That's 205-342-9904 if you want to get involved in the program. And a good show on tap for you today. Going to run it down here in just a second, tell you what all we've got going on. But first, I need to let you know, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking, empowering our members, enriching our community. Alabama Credit Union is more than just a financial institution. It's a member-owned community deeply rooted in rich historical values. Our central focus is empowering members, driving us to positively impact the community through financial success. That's something we can all get excited about. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. There we go. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, coming up at 9:30 this morning, Will Miller from Bama Central. Going to talk a number of different topics with us, including Alabama basketball, getting ready for that showdown tonight with number 8 Illinois up in Chicago at the United Center. Alabama ranked number 11. That'll be a lot of fun. And then at 10:30, it's Larry the Music Man as we continue to talk about groups that impacted you during the 1970s. And that'll be a lot of fun. Also, we'll get to Nate Oates. Speaking of Alabama basketball, he held his press conference yesterday prior to the team flying out to Chicago. We'll try to get to that audio. I always say that. We're not going to kick people off the phone lines in order to run press conference audio, but if we have an opportunity, we will do that. Also, news and notes to kind of start the show off. College football playoff last night, Alabama came in at number 10, behind Notre Dame at number 9. And I don't do a deep dive into this. As I said yesterday, I kind of think it's more about the final playoff rankings that matter. But there is some concern right now with how this is being viewed with Alabama and whether or not Alabama, if it beats Eastern Illinois and Auburn, I had said they'd be a lock for a playoff. But there's a lot of discussion out there that if Alabama were to go to the SEC championship game and lose that game, they could be knocked out. And after kind of reading some of the analysis of their playoff rankings and listening to what some of the people had to say, it does appear that Alabama is not a lock unless it wins the next three. Now, or in my opinion, if it wins the next two and doesn't go to Atlanta, but a lot of the people who study this playoff ranking system a lot more than I do are saying that if Alabama were to win the next two, go to Atlanta and lose in the SEC championship game, it could knock them out. Now, I would tell you that would be a disaster, and that might be the end of the conference championship games, and Greg Sankey would have a lot of explaining to do. If you play for your conference championship and you lose that game and that knocks you out of the playoff while somebody sitting at home gets to go. But right now it seems a little tedious as far as where Alabama stands. But I do know this, and I said this last night on Tide Insider TV, win the next two, and then you just kind of have to see how it plays out. If you go to Atlanta, of course, if you go to Atlanta and win the SEC championship game, you're automatically in, you get the bye. So, I mean, there's still, listen, I'm not by any means saying that Alabama can't win in Atlanta. I'm just saying that would be a very unfortunate ending to the season if you win the next two games, qualify for a spot in the championship game, and then lose that one at 10-3 after losing in your conference championship game, you get penalized and left out of the playoff. Now, that wouldn't be fun. So, anyway. But you know what? It is what it is. Alabama put itself in this position by losing to Oklahoma last Saturday. If the Tide had won that game, they would be in the top four in the college football playoff. And, you know, knowing that They were in good shape winning the next two. But I also will say this, in a very simplistic viewpoint, Chase, that in this state, the Alabama-Auburn rivalry is huge. It's everything to some people. So all I would, my advice to Kalen DeBoer, he hasn't asked for it. Let me be clear on that. But if he did, well, he said, you know, what do I need to do? I'd say win the Iron Bowl. That'd be my advice. Just win the Iron Bowl. Let everything else take care of itself. All right, we're going to go ahead and start taking some phone calls. Also this morning, as I said, if we get an opportunity, we'll hear from Nate Oates. But phone calls are already lined up this morning. So let's go ahead and start taking one or two in this segment, and then we'll get to some more in the next segment, 205-342-9904. And Robbie is going to lead us off with my friend Robbie Glenn. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. Happy hump day. I want to start by first saying happy birthday to Ragged Glory.
Well, speaking of that, Robbie, he asked Chase and I if for his birthday – he's turning 68 today. He asked Chase and I if he could come up. He said it was a bucket list item for him and come up to the station and sit in the control room with Chase. So in the next hour, we're going to let Ragged Glory sit in on the show. So
there you awesome. Go. That's good. He'll have fun. And, you know, disappointing that we dropped six spots, but, you know, we got no one to blame but ourselves for not taking care of business against Oklahoma. We dug a hole, but I think we'll still be fine. We have to take care of the next two games. There's a lot of, you know, everybody, like Oklahoma has two tough games left with Missouri, LSU. Oregon's got a tough one with USC, even though they're at home. Everybody's got a tough game, so I think it's going to change. But one thing I loved about it, and I said that to you last night, I guarantee the one team that made all the sports thing about holding up a sign, we want Bama, was Indiana. And as soon as they saw us in their bracket, do you think they were really excited about that? I mean, that would be great. I would love to go to Indiana and beat them at their place after asking for it. But, again, you know, Oregon, yeah, if it stays the way it is, which I know it won't, going to Oregon and going to Indiana, boy, those are two cold, tough places to go play during this time of the year. But you know, it is what it is. I think it'll change, but I would still love to be in Indiana's bracket if we don't host, you know, if it doesn't change right. But what a great place to go play. And here we are. You asked for us. You got us. But we got to take care of Auburn, Eastern Illinois, and then we'll see what happens. But, and then, of course, that, you know, we can't do anything about it but win.
That's right. All you can do is what you can do. And like I said, for me, I think the first, you know, object is just to obviously win Saturday and then to win the Iron Bowl. And, you know, if you beat Auburn for a sixth straight time, and then you'll live with the results, you know. Certainly you want to get in the playoff, but, if you take care of the Iron Bowl and you get to 10-2, and, you know, that's a good season. And I would, you know, again, I'll say what I said yesterday. It would be shocking to me if a 10-2 Alabama team that went 7-1 in the SEC did not get into the playoff, even if they lost the SEC championship game. But again, I don't have any control over it. And well, just like you said, it just has to play out. And you know, some other people could lose too. So it could, you know, it could help, you know, it could, Alabama could win and, you know, you could have another team lose and it would even open it up more for Alabama. So take care of your own business. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do from here on out.
That's right.
So, all right, and good luck to Bama basketball tonight. Another big game on there. So let's see if they recover, come back, and get a big win. So great time to be Bama fan.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Appreciate it. All right, we're going to go and get to Steve in Tuscaloosa, and then in the next segment we'll take some more phone calls, including Corey and Trustful. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Hey, Gary. I want to pick up where you left off yesterday afternoon about the callers. The number of callers, and I got to tell you, brother, it's the measure of a man is due to or a talk show, sports talk show host, how many callers he gets. And you've got callers. You've got great callers. You have good guests, but you have better callers.
Well, thank you, Steve.
And this is a great show, and I hope I'm not taking you by surprise. I shouldn't take you by surprise with this, but the diversity that you have on this program is unmatched, and I love it. I'm not blowing smoke up anything.
No, I appreciate it, man.
This is the only show I listen to. I used to listen to most of it during the day, but not anymore. It's not, and I don't have anything against anybody. But the callers you have here, Tom and Cowboy and Phillip, you know, you've got some good stuff going on here, man. And I love it. I love it. This is a great show. And you clearly have got something. You're doing something right, or people wouldn't be calling in.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, it's taken some time because when I started doing this show over 10 years ago, you know, I thought, well, the time slot is not what, you know this, Steve, it's not what you talk about for traditional, being a great time slot for traditional sports talk radio. You know, it's not morning drive, it's not noon, it's not afternoon, it's mid-morning. And I always said we were a content-driven show, but having said that, you know, I would never deny my callers. And over time, you know, I think you're right. I think we've become more of a caller-driven show. And it's just kind of organically just kind of happened that way. But you're right. I appreciate all our callers. And they're loyal now. And you're one of them. I mean,
they are.
Yeah.
They are. And they're educated. They're knowledgeable callers, present company not necessarily included. But I just labeled off or called out a few of them. And these guys are, you know, they know what they're talking about. So I love, you know, I called in a month or so ago telling you that I don't really understand NASCAR, but I do love the segment you have with Matt Coulter. I'm learning a lot about NASCAR, is that it is a team sport, after all. But that's just a small part of it. It's just, you know, the Casey Smith, Goff, I love, you know, Jeff, I love the guy from Auburn. You got some really good guests on, but the callers just are really, they're the ones that bring it.
And you're one of them, Steve, and I agree with you. I mean, I have really developed a good rapport with our callers, and it, you know, I've had a couple people tell me it's kind of like a family, and to some degree it is. Yeah.
Well, I love the show, Gary. Just keep it up, brother.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much, Steve. That's a great phone call. In fact, I told Chase to clip that up. We might have to use that for a promo. Pretty good stuff. Hey, getting back to Robbie's call, when he was talking about Alabama being Indiana's bracket, right now he's correct. But Alabama would have to go in the first round to Oregon. This is not going to hold up this way, but Alabama right now is the 10 seed, is projected to play the number 7 seed Oregon in Eugene, and then the winner of that game would then play Indiana. So, again, a lot could change, but, you know, Alabama's in a, I would say, somewhat of a precarious position, and a lot of things could still happen, but I'm not as confident as I was, you know, yesterday prior to these rankings coming out that Alabama is a lock if it wins these next two games. I'm not as confident as I once was, but still, I would say, you know, I feel, you know, if you give me a percentage to give you, I'd say 75% confidence level that Alabama will be in the playoff, but we'll see. All right, it is 9:20. Let's get their time out. We're going to come back. Corey and Trustful, you hold tight, buddy. You'll have plenty of time in the next segment. Will Miller from Bama Central coming up at 9:30, and Larry the Music Man at 10:30. Also, if we get an opportunity to get to Nate Oates, his press conference yesterday before Alabama plays Illinois. Boy, what a schedule. You know, you just played St. John's and Purdue, and now you get Illinois and Chicago. Wow. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Harris Show after this on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports. As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
When you give a gift from Hudson Pool, you're not just giving jewelry.
You're giving a memory that lasts a lifetime.
Shop in-store or online at hudsonpool.com.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on Innisfree Irish Pub. Often imitated but never duplicated, Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
243-8070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070, located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live Well Primary Care. It's time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And we're going to jump back out on the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. I always like to save a little extra time for my man Corey in Trustful because he loves to break it down. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Well, first of all, I want to say I really always enjoy your show. The one thing I like about your show is that you're fair, honest. You tell it straight like it is. You don't hold anything back. You don't BS anything. You tell it straight, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. And that's what I appreciate what you do. If something's good, you tell it's good. Bad, bad. It's ugly, it's ugly. And you don't mind stepping on someone's toes if it's hurting anybody's feelings, and that's what I like. If it has to be said, it has to be said. And that's what I appreciate it. Because you don't sugarcoat anything, and that's what I appreciate. And also, I really love a lot of the guests you got, because I always love it when you have Drudy Armandon to break down football and basketball. I love it during softball season when you have Karen Johns on to break down Alabama and the SEC and from the national scene. And those are probably my two favorite guests. I always look forward to it. And when Patrick Murphy comes on to preview the season, those mm-hmm. are my three favorite guests. I always look forward to when you have guests on.
Well, thank you, Corey. You know, you're one of our regular callers, man, and you add a lot to the show too. We appreciate that. What you got on your mind this morning, brother?
The rankings didn't surprise me right. as far as where we were slotted. But Notre Dame ahead of Alabama didn't make sense. But like you said, if Alabama takes care of business, we don't have to worry about it. But if Alabama does lose the SEC championship game, then there's a coin flip. I mean, to me, Alabama being 10 on the cut line, just in my opinion, tells me, in my opinion, that Alabama cannot lose a third game. I could be wrong about that.
No, I'm nervous now myself. I felt like on Sunday when I was looking at it, I said, well, if Alabama wins the next two and gets to Atlanta, the tide is in. And I had somebody on social media, in all fairness, come out to me and said, no, I disagree with you. And he laid out his reasons, and it's like we're looking at this morning now. There is a scenario, it looks like, that's being set up that if Alabama were to win the next two, go to Atlanta, and lose that – you're right. This thing could be structured as such that they don't get in, and that'd be a heartbreaker.
I was listening to Heather Dinich, not on the show, but she had like a YouTube mm-hmm. part segment. She said Alabama needs to pull for Texas Tech to win the Big 12.
Yeah, they do. Don't need anybody else winning that league. Need Texas Tech stay undefeated and to stay that way. I'll be honest with you.
You don't you really need chalk to hold. Well, it don't matter if Ohio State or Indiana wins the Big Ten. The ACC, you need a one big league there. Notre Dame's not going to lose again. Let me think. I'm trying to think if any upsets happened that might.
Well, to be honest with you, it would help Alabama if Mississippi State won the Egg Bowl. You know, that could help Alabama, and you know, it would have helped possibly if South Carolina could have hung on against A&M, then Texas could have beat A&M. But you know, it doesn't matter. South Carolina didn't win that game, and so you're right. There's now the way it's set up. It's you know, there's a limited amount of help that Alabama can get if it were to drop a third game, because there's, you know, we're looking at a lot of possible 2-win teams. It's almost to the point now where if Alabama won the next two, it would benefit them, you know, not to go to Atlanta. But let's say this too, though, Corey. One scenario is if Alabama gets in that game, I mean, they can beat A&M or they can beat Georgia again. They could beat anybody that they could play. And, you know, if you go over there and win the SEC championship game, then not only are you in, you're one of the top four seeds and you get a bye. So they still control their own destiny.
But I'm just thinking here, like, let's say you play A&M or Georgia, just an example, and they kick a last-second field goal to win. Should you really be punished? I mean,
you shouldn't be. No, listen, here's the deal. Let's just cut through the chase. And I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. As strong as this league is, if you're good enough to go through this league at 7-1, which Alabama will be if it beats Auburn, and you're 10-2 overall, and you go play for the conference championship against A&M or Georgia, whomever, and you lose a tough game, and that keeps you out of the playoff, then Greg Sankey's got something to answer for, and then the SEC championship game has to go away. You know, in my opinion, if that were to be the case, if you got penalized for having a great season, having the opportunity to play for your conference championship, and you lose a tough game over there, and that keeps you out of the playoff, that's not going to fly. So, as I said before, you know, Corey, what I'd like to see done, and, you know, nobody's called me and asked me opinion, I'd like to see it go to 16 teams, and I'd like to see them drop the conference championship games and just seed them 1 through 16, play first-round games at the higher-seeded home stadiums, and then get rid of these byes and just go from 16 to 8 to 4 to 2 to 1. That makes so much more sense to me than what we're doing, but... Again, no one's asked me.
Did you see how the chairman, Hunter Yerchick, just blasted Alabama's running game?
Yeah, I didn't know the running game was now a criteria for the playoff rankings. And also, he talked about Alabama struggling to come back to beat South Carolina, which was at South Carolina. And yet, that wasn't a struggle for A&M, down 30-3 at home to South Carolina? Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't like the tone or the tenor that was it almost felt like they were setting it up for Alabama to be left out if they got an opportunity. It's got me nervous too, Corey.
Which makes me wonder if the chairman has an agenda for Alabama, not personally, but an agenda, like you said, have a reason. If they're going to find a reason to keep Alabama out, they're going to find it, which means there's a lot of pressure on Alabama to win these next three games. If it comes down to the
Yeah. Well, real quick, your answer on Yurecek, I don't think any sitting athletic director should chair that committee. I think it should be someone that is not involved with a current AD position. I, you know, somebody that knows football, but that's just my opinion. Hey, got to run, Corey. Thanks, buddy.
You think Alabama gets the win tonight?
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Thanks, Corey.
Good talk to you, Roll Tide.
All right, we'll come back with Will Miller from Bama Central next year on the Gary Harris Show.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours of... Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Turn it up.
Sweet Home Alabama. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's 9:35, and we got my buddy Will Miller from Bama Central to break it all down. We're going to start with playoff rankings today. And Will, I think, already knows me well enough to know this. All the listeners do, that I'm not a bracketologist. I don't study this stuff. I feel like it all works its way out. And then, you know, we get a final rankings, and that's what we go with. But, Will, good morning. I got to tell you, though, I am concerned with how this thing now is setting up. I mean, on Sunday I was on social media and I said Alabama's a lock if it wins the next two for the playoff. And a guy came at me a little bit about the conference championship game, and he laid out some reasons that if Alabama won the next two and lost in Atlanta, that it could get left out. And now, Will, I got to tell you, I'm concerned that he might be right with what I saw last night with this latest college football rankings and Alabama precariously positioned at number 10. What do you make of it?
Morning, Gary. I hope you're doing good. Notre Dame, I just don't see any world where Notre Dame should be above Alabama. I've seen a few people point out that part of it has to do with the fact that Alabama has the worst loss, being that season opening game against Florida State, which obviously Alabama can't control, that the rails have gone off yet again for Mike Norvell. But I also think part of it is just the timing of the loss. I mean, you see teams years, you know, not be the beneficiary of it. Iowa 10 years ago, and I almost just fell over when I said 10 years. It's been 10 years since 2015. But they were an undefeated team, and then they lost in the conference championship, a very good, hard-fought, one-score game to Michigan State. And because that loss was right there at the end, Iowa's the number five team, and Michigan State gets in the playoff. You saw last year, or 2 years ago, rather, James Madison, you know, was angling hard to get that group of five bid, and then they lost when they were 10-0, and they didn't get it. I mean, there are so many examples, and I think that more to lose in the middle of November that it would have to have had that same loss. You know, I mean, you look at USC in 2016, they started off, you know, I think 1-3, and they ended up being, by virtue of their Rose Bowl win over Penn State, they ended up finishing the number three team in the country. The timing, to me, is what has influenced this more than anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me ask you a question about my scenario. And again, I understand the conference championship games bring in a lot of money, and you know, and it's great for the fans, but I'm not a fan of the current setup. I'll tell you what I would like to see, Will. And again, I take a rather simplistic approach because I'm not a bracketologist, but it just makes sense to me to go ahead and increase this thing to 16 teams. You see them 1 through 16. The first round, you have 8 home games. Then you break it down to 8 teams, to 4 teams, to 2 teams, to a champion, and you do away with these conference championship games. You just seed 1 through 16. I would love to see that. I think it'd be a more fair and equitable system. I doubt it's going to happen, but what do you think of that theory? Just get rid of these conference championship games. Let's seed 1 through 16, and let's play them all the way down till we have a champion.
You know, just off the cuff, Gary, I'm inclined to agree, because you certainly don't want, you know, teams to be punished for making a conference championship game. I mean, certainly you want to reward winners of the conference. But, I mean, if a team is in a position where it wouldn't have made – where it wouldn't have missed the playoff had they not lost the conference championship game, or had they been, you know, 10-2 or 11-1 and they're in, but then they play a conference championship game, they lose and they're out, you know, what kind of message – I mean, does that send? I mean, I think you and I both know, and eventually you're going to – I mean, you had the Big 12 bring their conference championship game back because not having it cost both their teams in spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in here the opposite predicament, the opposite dilemma, whatever word you'd like to use. I mean, it feels to me as though we're on a crash course towards getting rid of some of these conference championship games. And I mean, I think that maybe there was probably some thought that, you know, getting rid of the divisions in some of these leagues would maybe decrease the odds of this happening, because then the two teams that you're going to have playing for that conference title are going to have better records. So that maybe there's some buffer there, but now already year two of this 12 team playoff system, and we're having conversations to the opposite effect. So I mean, I think that, and I do think the 16 team playoff will happen very soon. I think that's the next point that we're headed towards, so to speak. And I mean, I'm for it. I think that there's too many wrinkles in this 12 team system already. The negatives have been completely on full display that have, I mean, shown the pitfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say it wasn't the case with the 4-team system, but, you know, it does help when you know, the first number 4 team that you pick controversially goes and wins the national championship. That'll alleviate some of that. A couple number 4s obviously winning the title, Alabama being one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there were things that kind of eased that, the impact of that a little bit, that I don't think you've had yet with the 12-team system.
Let me look at Alabama specifically again, Will, and let's just say, of course, you know, obviously you want to win the next two, you want to win the Iron Bowl. And I mean, I you know, somebody asked me last night, called me at the TV station and said, what would your advice be to Kalen DeBoer? And I said it would be to beat Auburn, you know, and then let everything else just kind of play out. But let's say Alabama wins the next two, goes to Atlanta, plays A&M, Georgia, whomever it may be, and does lose a hard-fought game. So you're 10-2, you're 7-1 in the league. And you go and you lose that SEC championship game. So suddenly you've got all these SEC teams that are ahead of you with less losses, you know, with Oklahoma A&M and Georgia and Ole Miss. Is there a scenario in your mind that Alabama could literally get left out of the playoff by losing that SEC championship game? If that were to happen, what in the world would the fallout be?
I totally think that that's possible. I was talking about it with Hunter Brantley recently, actually, that very scenario that you just described. I mean, I don't mean to pull all these obscure references out of my backside, but I'm talking about, you know, 2019 when Alabama lost the Iron Bowl, but they were still 10-2. I mean, they were still one of the top teams in the country that had been besieged by injuries. And, you know, they're 10-2. You know, they won, what was it, you know, 6 SEC games, and they don't get a New Year's Six Bowl just because that year there weren't enough New Year's Six spots to go around. You know, Georgia was really good. I mean, they end up, and I mean, the Sugar Bowl wasn't a playoff game that year, but, you know, Georgia was really good. They end up, I think, getting that spot. And then, you know, you had, you know, Penn State got one, Baylor got one. I mean, there just weren't enough places. And like you kind of alluded to, regardless of what you've done in the regular season, again, it goes back to the timing of the loss, because you lost the last game of the regular season. And I think that if you're Alabama and your last impression is a loss, you know, even if it's a close game against, like, and if it's Texas A&M, obviously it would probably be an undefeated team, if that's who you were playing if you're Alabama. I just think that there wouldn't be enough places to go around. If that's your scenario, you know, you're talking about Georgia most likely is going to be, you know, ahead of you with less losses, with the two losses. And then you're going to have, you know, Ole Miss in that situation. I mean, you know, who knows if Oklahoma wins out, and then they have the head-to-head over you. And that's one of the metrics that the playoff committee uses or claims that they use. You know, obviously we don't really know what happens in that room, and sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense, but they have the head-to-head on you. And if they had fewer losses, you're going to be literally possibly left out in the cold.
Going to be crazy. Again, though, I think for Alabama in this state, knowing how it works, I mean, the first order of business is get through Saturday and go down there to Auburn and win that Iron Bowl. Because we know this, Will, if Alabama loses to Auburn, it's not going to the college football playoff. That we do know, right?
And there will be some fallout there, Gary. You talk about nuclear winter. You're going to have a few of those.
Yeah, that's just a scenario that Kalen DeBoer doesn't want to have to deal with. I can promise you that. All right, let's get to real quickly. Just you were sitting in the press box with us and watching the Alabama Oklahoma game. Very frustrating game, because Alabama did a lot of good things in the game. I mean, they moved the ball pretty consistently. Obviously, defensively, they played well. But the kicking game, the missed field goal, the fumble punt, giving up a punt return, and the turnovers. I mean, and Oklahoma played clean. Oklahoma didn't have to do a lot because Alabama kind of shot itself in the foot. Was that your take?
I totally agree with that. I mean, Deontay Lawson, you know, we talked to him post-game for a little bit, and he said, I don't know if you were over there, Gary, when he said this, but at one point he said that he felt like Alabama, from a statistic standpoint, had dominated the game. And if you look at it, you know, he's kind of right. Basically doubled them up on first downs, you know, nearly 200 more total all-purpose yards than them, you know, nearly 200 more passing yards, Ty Simpson, compared to John Mathier. I mean, and it's not that Alabama didn't have their chances in this game. You know, they had the lead 21-20. They couldn't ultimately string together the drive to extend that lead. Kalen DeBoer alluded to that in the postgame press conference. I mean, they didn't take advantage of maybe any ability that they might have had to put Oklahoma in more of a reach position to try and jockey back into the game. And, I mean, you kind of give it to them, you know, with a fumble and plus territory with a sack fumble. And then they kick a field goal. I mean, the defense, to me, they kind of did their job. I mean, they played their tails off. You know, you hold them to field goals multiple times in a game where, you know, every other time you're out there on the field, you're starting with a short field. I mean, statistically, and I mean, it's been said, you know, the only one that matters is the scoreboard. And, yeah, that's true. But, you know, Alabama really owned a lot of the key stats in this game. And I think, look back, if you're a coaching staff member or if you're a player, that's what's frustrating, because it's very easy to look at that, even though you lost, and even though, yes, Oklahoma has an outstanding defense, and I mean, when they're playing up to potential, obviously a really, really good, you know, top tier offense, to still feel like maybe on another day you would have been a better football team than them.
All right, I want to ask you about hoops real quick, because when you play the kind of schedule Alabama's playing, you know, it's there are going to be ups and downs. I mean, that was a huge up going into Madison Square Garden, you know, and the Mecca in a basketball, and beating a top five St. John's team that Rick Pitino had, you know, built this starting lineup, big NIL money, and, you know, Alabama just outplayed them. You come home, you knew that wasn't a good matchup. I mean, Matt Painter, it's a little bit, I guess, like Oklahoma and Alabama in football. You know, Purdue seems to have Alabama's number, and you just get demolished on the backboard. Plus, Braden Smith's the best point guard in the country. Still, it's 80-80, and then it's 82-80, and you got Phylon shooting, you know, front end that he misses, and you wind up with Purdue scoring the final 7 points of the game to win that game, 87-80. But now you go to Chicago, to the United Center, to play another top 10 team, number 8, Illinois, and another team that is big and strong and has brought in players from Europe. And you're going to have to deal with rebounding again tonight. How do you see this matchup? And you think Alabama can stay with them on the boards well enough to have a chance to win this game?
That's what you have to do to have a chance to win. And, I mean, I think that, you know, Nate Oates, I mean, he's always going to harp on the blue collar and the effort. But, I mean, the simple fact is, Illinois, you're again going to be out-rebounded in the game tonight, win or lose if you're Alabama. Illinois is a big team. They crashed the boards. They had a freshman with 21 rebounds in their last game. And obviously nobody's expecting any Alabama players to get 21 individual rebounds. But if that happens, he'd probably win the next three hard hat preemptive. And I wouldn't argue with it either. I mean, you know, Illinois is a team that, I mean, and Brad Underwood has done just such an outstanding job with the Illinois program. I mean, it used to get talked about a lot more than it does now, because I think there's become an just like at Alabama, there's become an expectation to play at a certain level, and how quickly people forget the way it used to be. And part of that, part of the brand of basketball that they've had is, yeah, you mentioned the type of players that they've brought in, and I mean, they've got guys that do pretty much everything really well. But I mean, they can, you know, they're like Purdue. They're a larger lineup, a strong and long lineup, and I mean, they can just get it done on the boards. And I mean, in reality, when you have, you know, close games and tight situations, I mean, Alabama getting out rebounded by 24 and being in the game with a minute left, you know, you're not gonna win pretty much any games when you get out rebounded by that much. But to even be in it is a testament, especially when, you know, your star point guard really wasn't on the map in the first half, is a testament to really what a good team Alabama is. So, I mean, for everybody that thinks the sky is falling after the Purdue loss, you know, Alabama's one of the top teams out there, in my opinion. And they showed that, you know, when they beat St. John's, and then I think they showed a lot about it again when they lost to Purdue. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to get out rebounded by 24 again. You certainly can't make that a trend. But I mean, Illinois, and to me, I mean, there's a reason they're ranked so highly, you know, this early. I mean, they've had teams in the past that I wasn't as high on, but I really like this Illinois team. I do expect them to win the rebounding battle, not by 24, but I mean, I absolutely think that Alabama can win this game. I mean, I think that, you know, if they're on, Alabama's a better shooting team, and they got more outside weapons, which I guess that's true in a lot of the matchups that they play. But I mean, it's going to matter in a game like this. You know, you don't want the ball, you don't want it to get, you know, get to be a game where you kind of have to grind it out, because I don't think that Alabama's big enough to do that with Illinois for 40 minutes. So you got to have your outside game going to have success.
And lastly, Will, you're one of our go-to sources for the Braves. It's, you know, listen, it's settled in now. Walt Weiss is the manager. The coaching staff is set. They've reworked that a little bit, bringing over a couple of coaches from the Mets, including new pitching coach. I guess it's, you know, going to come down to as far as this team for 2026. It feels like the roster needs to be tweaked some, particularly with the pitching staff. What are your expectations for the Braves for this next season?
Yeah, I really like this coaching staff. And I think that, like I kind of mentioned last time we talked, that it kind of signals a shift in the organization, that they're not just going to wash, rinse, and repeat with everything that Brian Snitker did. And I think these are guys that are really going to help the team. I mean, growth and development may not be the right phrase, but I mean, obviously this team absolutely has to take a step forward this next year, even with the managerial changes and everything else going on. It was still an incredible disappointment last year. I mean, I think the Braves players would tell you that, certainly the fans. Mm-hmm. We talked ad nauseum. But, you know, they have the tools in place. And if they can stay healthy, stay on the field, I mean, these are coaches that have done a really good job. I was very pleased with the ability to get Richardson. I can't believe that the Mets let him walk, but, you know, Mets gonna Met, as they say. You know, the jokes about that have been done to death, but I'm making them, believe me. But, you know, their loss is the Braves' big gain. I mean, I think this is going to be a winning team next year, and you certainly want to rest that division crown back from the Phillies. And they have, obviously a number of free agency questions themselves, like Kyle Schwarber and et cetera, and what's going to happen. And their fans have soured on Rob Thompson for whatever reason. I don't get it. But I expect the Braves to be back on a winning track next year with the new coaching staff. I mean, Walt Weiss, we talked about it. He's been a manager. He's done it before. You can't really predict how somebody's going to do in Colorado. Just a wonky situation with baseball at that altitude. I mean, I'm not anywhere near as, you know, what's the term? I guess apprehensive after I've seen some of these things take shape and it's had some time to settle in. I think this is going to be a good baseball club again next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do too. I think they're going to be a contender. Hey, great stuff, Will. Appreciate it. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at RealWBMiller and all of mine and my colleague work at BamaCentral.com.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you, Gary. See you soon.
All right, 9:52. We're going to come back and wrap up hour number one, get you ready for the second hour. Hey, I want to give a shout-out. Speaking of Raggy Glory, he said it's a bucket list for him to sit in the control room with Chase on his birthday. So we're going to make that happen in the second hour. Also, my pal Tom over at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, he celebrated a birthday, had a big birthday party. He texted me about not giving him a shout-out on the radio. Well, I didn't get an invitation to the birthday party, Chase. But happy birthday to Tom. We appreciate him. T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall, home of the $99 suit sale, and of course, the sponsor for our Bama Football Trivia Contest. So let's come back and wrap up hour number one. I see Tom's on the line. Probably best just hold Sheriff to the top of the hour. Let him know so he'll have more time. We don't want to have to squeeze him down. But we'll come back and wrap up hour number one of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Rack and Reel, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in touchdown, Alabama!
New home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Get down on it, come on and get down on it. Get down on it.
cameras in here, we're going to be in trouble, aren't we, Chase? Chase and I like to rock now we come back with the good music. So when you ever get the cameras in here, you'll get to see us breaking it down. Hey, before we close out this first hour, I want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. Game Day Men's Health offers convenient expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Your personalized treatment starts with their signature three-step plan. Complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health and begin your customized treatment plan. Because listen to me, fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Men's Health in Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your needs and your goals. Get back in the game. Game Day Men's Health, 1013 Street. I've toured the clinic. It is absolutely beautiful. And don't just sit around thinking I can't do anything about these issues. You can. Get in the game at Game Day Men's Health. Tell them you heard about it on the Gary Harris Show. I'm just going to wrap it up for hour number one. Hour number two, Tom and Bryce, you guys get ready. We're going to take you and get the show started off in the second hour with you guys, plus Larry the Music Man at 10:30. And Ragged Glory is going to sit in with Chase to mark off a bucket list on his 68th birthday, a bucket list item. So hour number two, the Gary Harris Show, is on the way. Thanks to Alabama Credit Union for bringing you hour number one.
Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
Cincinnati Bengals star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is out this weekend. His one-game suspension was upheld. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, with a concussion, will miss a third straight game this Thursday against the Bills. In the new college football playoff rankings, the top three stayed the same, led by number one Ohio State. Georgia's up to number four. Oklahoma's now number eight. Alabama, number 10. To college basketball, there was a doubleheader at Madison Square Garden, and Michigan State beat Kentucky in a top 20 matchup, 83-66. Then number 5 Duke was a winner over Kansas, 78-66. Number 21 Arkansas edged Winthrop, 84-83. In the NBA, the Lakers' Luka Doncic scored 37 points in a win over Utah.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday Hump Day edition, November 19, 2025. It's balmy outside, overcast. I was telling Chase, I guess I missed the forecast that it was supposed to be cloudy today, but it is, but it's warm, so not a problem. If you're looking out a window right now and you see all the leaves turning and you see these clouds, you think it looks like it's like 45 degrees, but it's not. It's more like 70, 75. All right. Coming up in the second hour, Larry the Music Man at the bottom of the hour. As we said, we're waiting on Ragged Glory to arrive for his bucket list item of sitting in the control room with Chase during the show as he turns 68. And right now, we got the sheriff going to lead us off here in the second hour. Tom, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Gary. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I wanted to tell you that the 16-game scenario that you put out, which included eliminating the championship game, you know, there's several championship games that Saturday that the SEC championship game. I think the Big Ten is the same day, and ACC and others. And, you know, if you eliminated that and plugged in the playoffs, begin the playoffs right there, that makes all the sense to me. And I think you're on to something. And I think you would see a better draw TV-wise and everything else if that was a playoff game on that Saturday.
Oh, I'd love to see it. I'm with you. I just think it makes more sense to do it that way. I understand financially, these conference championship games generate revenue. I know that's a big part of it, but they're not needed anymore. And if you just went ahead and went to a 16-team playoff the way they do it in FCS and seed them 1 through 16, you could play all the first-round games on campus. That would be 8 games on campus. And then you just go from there.
Right.
It would open up the playoff for more teams. You could still get more Power 5 teams in. It's so clearly a better system than the one we have. But as we know in college sports, what looks logical a lot of times has no place in college sports. So I don't know. I'm not a fan of the conference championship games anymore. Listen, they were great. They you know, in the BCS era, even in a 4-team playoff era. But now, you know, let's get to 16 teams. Let's get rid of these byes. You know, if you're the one seed and you're playing the 16 seed at home and you don't win, that's on you. You know what I mean? Let's be
that's
honest,
right.
Tom. If you're the one seed and you're playing
that's
the 16
right.
seed at home and you get beat, too bad. You don't deserve a bye.
Yeah.
We don't need this.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Here's for this pack of sheep that we got for a football team over here. You lost your spot because you allowed Oklahoma and steroid Danny Venable to come in and beat you. Venables needs to be tested for steroids. Our sheep are out there looking at the sideline. They make a mistake, and they all look to the sideline. Let me tell you something, Chief. I said this on Barry and Coach's show this morning. The only damn thing a chief can do is follow the shepherd to the butcher block. Quit being a sheep. Get out there and do something.
You said it, Tom. You didn't hold back. You're bringing it this morning. Hey, did you put a little extra juice in your coffee this morning? Did you get some? Did you have a? I don't drink energy drinks, but what's that energy drink that's so well known? The little silver can.
No, I won't tell you.
Red Bull. You have a Red Bull this morning?
I didn't have that. Okay. But I'll tell you what I did do.
All right.
I started using Phil Mickerson's concoction in my coffee. It's called Doge.
Yeah.
It's bad to the bone. I believe it comes from Colombia.
Oh, that's what I've been reading about it. I've heard that it is it's outstanding. I might have to try it myself. I mean, Phil looks good. Phil trimmed up on it. So, but it's got you jumping this morning. All right, brother.
I'll tell you what, I'm frustrated with this football
thing. Yeah, we all are. But hey, listen, here's what I'm going to say, Tom.
They start bellyaching because Notre Dame jumps in front of them. That to me is, don't say anything after you got your ass beat. Quit talking.
Well,
start playing.
There's other teams that have gotten beaten too. So I mean, anyway. I know, but they're still in the mix. Hey, win the next two. That's my message. Win the next two, and we'll kind of let it, you know, shake out, see where we're at. Hey, thank you, Tom. Good to hear from you.
I like what you said to the caller last night to the TV station that said, what's your message for DeBoer? You said beat Auburn. That's a good one.
That's the only message that he needs to be listening to right now. That's the only one. Hey, thank you, Tom. We're going to keep it moving. Let's get to our pal Bryce. Hey, Bryce, good morning.
Gary, if I'm the special teams coach, I'm getting with that punter, and I'm seeing if he can kick the field goal. The way he boots that punt.
All right, I'm sorry, Brian. Somebody came in the studio and had to tell me. Give me a message real quick. Start over because I missed it.
If I'm the special teams coach, I'm getting that punter out there and see if he can kick a field goal.
Well, I think
he can get a mile.
Yeah, I think after that. Special teams performance against Oklahoma, they're going to be working on a lot of different aspects of special teams. I mean, they clearly, Even with all the turnovers, if they had played a clean game in special teams, they still win that football game, buddy. I mean, the Ryan Williams fumble punt led to a touchdown. The punt return they gave up led to a field goal. Missing the field goal at the end of the half could have been the difference in the game. So, yeah, they got to get that fixed, man.
Well, it started off with Brooks. He goes down and tackles the guy, and he don't lock up. He's got him down that pin down there on the 15, 20-yard line. And you ain't got no big punt return, you know?
You know, he was right there on top of him. I mean, he literally hit him about the minute he caught the ball. And he did go low, which Lachie Brooks is a small kid, a small guy. And I thought he had the right idea. But, man, when you go low like that, you got to grab that leg, man. You can't just pop in there and hit and let the guy go.
Yeah.
I mean, you got if you tie up that ankle and hang on to it, he's going down at some point. Or you hold him to him, you get some help. But, I mean, just to hit him like that and let him go. Yeah, you got to tackle the guy, man. So I'm with you on special teams. It's got to get better.
And that poor tackling like that just caught up with us on that play.
It did.
I mean, seemed like we couldn't do nothing right when we needed to at Oklahoma. It was their day. They could they were just there when we made a mistake and they pounced on it. You know, it's one of those things, you know, hey, we didn't play good enough to win. We had two ugly wins, and we got an ugly loss. So that's just law of averages. I don't know, but, if you can't go down there and beat Auburn, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Well, I think that's the way a lot of Alabama people feel. So it's and I think this too, again, I'm not trying to put too much on one game, but what's going to happen is going to happen. But like you said, you lose that game a week from Saturday and you're not going to the playoff. You're not going to the SEC championship game. It's going to be a season much like last year. It's going to feel bad. So control what you can control. Oklahoma game's over. Beat Eastern Illinois on Saturday, and then get ready for the Iron Bowl and go down there and beat Auburn. That'll be six in a row over your in-state rival, but that'll be the most wins for Alabama in a row over Auburn since Coach Bryant. And you know what? You'll feel better about everything if you win that game. So I'm with you. I mean, that's what's on tap now. You know, whether you make it to Atlanta. Whether you make it in the college football playoff, all that right now is kind of hypotheticals, but we know this, they're playing two more games for sure. And you need to win both of those.
Well, and another thing, Gary, that game's not televised. Is that correct?
This game this weekend is not televised. It is going to be streaming. You have to have an SEC, Network Plus or ESPN Plus membership to watch this game. If you have that, you can watch it on your wireless device, your phone, or you can, you know, run it through your TV. But yeah, it will not be on over the air, free TV or cable. So it is a stream So keep that in mind. And it's not, it's rare these days that you don't have a game on television, but I think every SEC team has one stream game a year, and this is Alabama's.
Well,
of course, it'll be on the radio, too. It'll be on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. We'll have it here on Tide 100.9 FM.
Yeah. Well, another thing, if Vanderbilt wins out, I'm taking a 10-2 Vanderbilt over Notre Dame. You know, they deserve it.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. Here's something too, Bryce. And as I said, I'm not a bracketologist. I don't even really study it much, but I'm a little concerned by the way this thing set up last night. But there's still a lot of things that can happen. There's a lot of scenarios, you know. Teams can lose games that we don't expect them to lose.
Right.
And so a lot could change between now and the final bracket. But last night, with where Alabama was positioned at 10 behind Notre Dame, I think it's a very precarious spot to be in. So they need to go win.
Yeah, and they need to go back to the BCS where you put everything in the computer, where strength of schedule and quality wins matter. That's what they need to go back to, because these yo-yos picking this committee, I never did like it. You know, you don't know what they're thinking and who they're for and who they're not for. I just don't like this committee. I think it needs to be done through a computer, because that way you'd get the real result.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Bryce.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. Good to hear from you. All right. Let's get to Alex right here in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Gary. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great, man.
So I just wanted to say something about the caller that called two calls ago. We haven't lost a playoff spot. Two things can be true right here. We should be ranked over Notre Dame, or correction, Notre Dame should not be ranked ahead of us.
Okay.
And this doesn't matter right now. It's week 13. We still got two more, potentially three more games to play.
Right.
The outcome of those games matter. This, like, this ranking today really, or yesterday, really doesn't matter that much. It's just to drum up engagement. And like I said, I don't like that Notre Dame's ahead of us. I don't think they should be. It's setting a really weird precedent where even with that loss over Florida State, we're the highest ranked one loss team. And then we get a second loss, and now we're the third or fourth ranked two loss team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, like I said, this doesn't matter. We haven't lost a playoff spot. I mean, you go out there, you win the next three, no one cares what the rankings were this week.
You're right.
You go out, you lose to Auburn, no one cares what the rankings were this week. The only weird situation is losing in the SEC championship.
Yeah. But
I just don't see a world where they penalize one of the two best SEC teams for playing in that game.
Well, you're echoing my sentiments and my thoughts. And as I said, I don't really ever even study this thing too much because for the very reason that you're pointing out that, man, you know, it's a lot of football left, and I worry about the last one. But last night, for some reason, did catch my attention, Alex, and that's why I feel a little differently this morning than I did yesterday, because I've been singing the same song that you're singing. You know, if Alabama wins the next two and goes to Atlanta, they're in, you know, regardless what happens to the SEC championship game. But after watching some of that show last night and then listening to some of the college football analysts that study the bracketology a lot more than I do, I am concerned. I do think what I heard last night and what I saw set it up, and I'm with you. I don't know for sure this has happened, but they have set it up for a scenario that if Alabama wins the next two, goes to Atlanta, and loses that SEC championship game, I would have never said this yesterday, but now I do see a opening that they can leave Alabama out. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No, I'm with you. I just can't imagine the fallout if a 10-2 Alabama team, 7-1 in the league, goes to the SEC championship game and loses to either A&M or Georgia or Ole Miss or whoever it may be, and that keeps you out. I think the gnashing of teeth would be, but I didn't get a good vibe from that show last night, Alex. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't disagree.
It just kind of set up like they, and then Juracek comes out talking about, well, you know, they can't run the ball. What the heck has that got to do with playoff rankings?
Here I was thinking you make the playoffs based on your resume and how you look.
Well, you know, we noticed they couldn't run the ball against Florida State, and that's what the. I mean, I've never heard that. That's the first time I've ever heard that analogy about how you play. Again, yeah, you know, trumps your record. I mean, Lord, I just was not very comfortable with all the stuff that came out last night, man. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things. I hate having sitting ADs on the committee because whether they realize it or not, every one of them's got an agenda. Just inherently. Like, we can have a bunch of, you know, former players, former coaches, people that are not actively benefiting or not benefiting from their selections. Because sure, I'm still not 100% convinced that Ward Mandel of Michigan didn't look preferentially on SMU last year when he saw that there's a chance Alabama and Michigan could play in a bowl game, and he knew he'd get a check for that one.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, I know they do try to do their best. I believe that in MJ. But, you know, we all have biases built in, even if they're deep-seated biases that we don't think impact our thinking. You know how it is. As a human being, you can try to be as objective as you want, but there might be some deep-seated bias that you don't even realize infiltrates your thinking, but it does. And these are human beings. And, again, I don't like the idea. I know they set it up, the committee, the boy they feel like is best. I don't like a sitting AD being the chairman of these of the committee. I just don't. I mean, because what you said, there's an agenda there. So, but you got to live with the system. I do still agree, ultimately, Alex, with you, that if Alabama wins the next two, I can't imagine that. Well, I can't imagine now, but I think it's still a very, very, very small percentage that they won't be in the playoffs. So win the next two games and let whatever happens, happens. But I feel confident if Alabama is 10-2 and 7-1 in the SEC, they're going to be in the college football playoff.
I agree. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, Gary. Roll
Thanks,
time.
Alex. Yeah, good point. And like I said too earlier, and I saw Wyatt walk in. He's going to be on the Deep South College Football Show. I just wish I could get some momentum for a 16-team playoff. Get rid of the conference championship games. Seed them 1 through 16. Play the first 8 games on campus and go that way. It just makes more sense to me. But I don't think they're going to get rid of these conference championship games because of the money involved. Hey, Ragged Glory, happy birthday. He's a bucket list item in the control room with Chase, visiting right now with Wyatt. So we make birthday dreams. We're like, hey, listen, Chase, we're like Disney World, man. We make dreams come true.
Yes, indeed.
And Ragged Glory's got his fave Larry coming up here in a little bit at 10:30 with the Music Man segment. All right, we're going to take a time out. Before we do, though, I want to remind you, lunch is right around the corner. You know, I got a lot of great places that I'm involved with in terms of my restaurants for my show. How about Rock and Roll Sushi? Man alive. They've got some lunch specials. What I like, they've got the bowls, which is kind of like the hibachi grill all mixed into one. You can get the chicken, the shrimp, the steak. They mix it in there with the rice and the veggies. Absolutely delicious. Check out the lunch specials at Rock and Roll Sushi downtown Tuscaloosa. All right, we're going to come back. Chase, should I dare try to get a little bit of Nate Oates in? We're going to try. We're going to try to get a little bit of Nate Oates in. If we get a phone call, we won't worry about it. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the Tuscaloosa Thread headline, the city of Centerville is conducting a forensic audit after new mayor Barry Cooner found the Bibb County seat is in debt.
We don't have a lot of money. We are financially strapped right now.
The city is uncertain about how to make payroll or pay bills. The Alabama Forestry Commission is urging residents to postpone burns due to ongoing drought. Currently, 60 wildfires are burning across the state, 8 here in West Alabama. And Bama football fell to 10th in this week's college football playoff poll released last night. I'm Don Hartley.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Spots.
Remember M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me, 205-800-8000.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside pub. Often imitated but never duplicated, Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm November day. The sky partially sunny. The high today around 80. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The high 81. Friday, cloudy with a good chance at rain at times. The high 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
All right, 10:25. Welcome back back into the Gary Harris Show, and we are going to try to get to just a couple of minutes of Nate Oates. We don't have long, but if nothing else, we'll have his opening comments from his press conference yesterday ahead of this big game tonight in the United Center against Illinois there in Chicago. Huge game. Illinois number 8, Alabama number 11. Here's Nate Oates kind of previewing the big game that Alabama has tonight up in Chi-Town.
Injury update. Keaton Bristow's practiced in a limited capacity the last, 3 days, gradually gotten a little bit better. So he'll be a game time decision, but he's at least back in the mix and doing some stuff in practice. Obviously, Jaleel's still out. Everybody else should be good to go. And we're good there. This is apparently Steven just told me third straight season we've faced 3 straight top 10 teams. So scheduling, and we're scheduling hard opponents on purpose. I think it tests us. Obviously, we'd have liked to have gotten a win against Purdue, but I do think it exposed some areas we got to get better at. Obviously, the rebounding, it's been an issue throughout some of the exhibitions. It was a major issue against Purdue. And Illinois, you know, going to test us again. I mean, Mirkovic coming off a 21 rebound game. So they've got, they're big. I think they're actually bigger than Purdue, you know, with the Avicic twins. Big Z's been at Arkansas. He had a great game against us last year. Thomas Law was pretty good against us at Illinois last year. Now they're on the same team. Then they had Mirkovic and shoot Wagler's at guard, averaging over 4 old boards a game. So we've got our hands full on the defensive glass. Again, we've been making a point emphasis on it. We're going to have to do better. If we can't make some tough plays, it's going to be hard to win these games against top 10 teams. So, but we're looking forward to it. We had a good game against them here against in Birmingham last year. They're good. I think it's their best. I think last year was their best offensive season in over, what did it say, highest scoring average in 31 years. I think Coach Underwood's done a really good job modernizing their offense. You know, they're playing with their bigs out on the perimeter. You know, all their bigs can shoot threes. They stretch you out a little bit. They can drive you. You know, Stojakovic is playing really well. Basel is one of the better guards in the country. So they've got guys that can make plays off the dribble, bigs that can stretch you and play on the perimeter, and then they've got shooting as well. So they're good. We're going to have to play well, but it's a good test for us.
Coach, what's been your biggest challenge to Noah Williamson after these first few games, and what would you like to see out of him this weekend especially?
Yeah, we got to get him to rebound the ball better. You know, we're having problems rebounding, particularly in the front court. We said it, you know, he's 7 foot. He's skilled, and that's why we got him. You know, he's just got to play more athletic. He's got to go get some rebounds. You know, he's got to use his what he does have. I mean, he's big, he's strong. He's not like the most vertical athletic guy, but he's got a lot of strength, and he's got to use it. He's got to help us on the glass a little bit better. And then offensively, I think he's got to be a little bit more aggressive. He can shoot when he gets himself spaced correctly. He can drive the ball. He's a great passer. So we got to get him being a little bit more aggressive offensively.
All right, that's a little bit from Nate Oates. It was quite a bit. He says a lot in a little short period of time. So big game for Alabama basketball tonight in Chicago against Illinois. All right, we're going to get a break, and when we come back in, Larry the Music Man going to break it down. We're still talking about bands in the 70s that impacted you and your musical interest, and we'll take some phone calls for Larry, as we always do, 205-342-9904. And one of Larry's biggest fans, Ragged Glory, is in the control room with Chase, knocking off a bucket list item, helping Chase produce the show. We'll be right back with Larry the Music Man next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTVC, your home for Alabama sports.
The lineup offering bring fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Bastard, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Let's go, Chase. Let's groove. Chase and I were talking, if we ever get cameras in these studios, we're going to be in trouble. Got a little groove to it. A little river band. I'm so happy for you, baby. Happy anniversary, baby. Brings us into our Larry the Music Man segment. We've been talking about groups in the 70s, bands, artists that kind of impacted you. Didn't have to necessarily be huge stars. Might have even been one-hit wonders. But now this band had a lot more than one hit. Little River Band out of Australia, the land down under. 70s, 80s, man. And such a good groove. Hey, good morning, Larry. How's it going?
Good morning, Gary. And happy birthday, Ragged Glory. You one groovy dude, man. I'm going to use some 70s slang. Gary Harris, you're a groovy dude. All the callers are groovy. I said a long time ago, when you said you want to do a music segment on a sports show, I said, this guy's lost his mind. But you know what? It works. And if I can jog a memory and make somebody smile, that's what I want to do. So we shall carry on, brother.
Well, we're having a good show today, man. I tell you, it's been Chase and I were talking during the break. We've had, you know, lately the calls have just been coming left and right, and, you know, we got a great network.
Well, they're sincere, man.
Yeah.
They love you. They love you, and your diversity, you're just that kind of guy. I've got to know you, and I think you deserve Oscar myself.
Well, hey, maybe, you know, maybe we can get a Abby Award or some type of Emmy for to my TV work here. So, but no, I appreciate everybody. Hey, let's jump in, Larry. And again, if folks want to call in, 205-342-9904. And Raggy Gory doesn't have to call in today because he's in the studio. So we'll have him get on here in a minute with you. But,
well, I had a great conversation with Robbie Glenn. He said he's been out of pocket the last 2 weeks. He said, what's going on? And I told him, I said, the leadoff song, if that don't jog a memory, Robbie Glenn. Anyway, we always have the best conversations when he's driving. But that's what I'm doing. I got my top five. And, of course, Little River Band. I want to give them a shout-out. They were strong in the 70s. It's a long way there. It was their first hit.
Mm-hmm.
Help is on the way. Happy anniversary. Lonesome Loser. Reminiscing. Cool Change. I'm calling this Yacht Rock, man.
Yeah, they're classic Yacht Rock. There's no doubt. They're one of the classic Yacht Rock bands of all time. Yep.
Their harmony.
Yeah.
Incredible. They're Australian.
Mm-hmm.
The vocalist, Glenn Sharrock. The guitar player, I had sent Philip a live version of Happy Anniversary, and he said, my God, the guitar player. And I said, man, these guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
And they get overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. They don't get brought. Have we brought them up much in our conversation?
No, we haven't talked a lot about them. We have not talked a lot about
no.
What I like to call LRB.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. So let me name mine, and we'll get everybody on board here. First group, Hot Chocolate. You Sexy Thing.
Mm-hmm.
You Win Again. Everybody's a Winner. Singer Errol Brown, one of the most unique vocalists. Man, that guy, who sings like him? My second group, Ace. Had the big hit, How Long?
How
with Paul Carrick on.
Good. Has been going on?
Boom, 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 boom,
yeah,
boom.
Awesome, too.
Paul Carrick on vocals, mm-hmm, and keys.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with Squeeze, Roxy Music after Ace. Mike and the Mechanics was his band. A lot of people don't know that. That was him singing The Living Years.
Sure was, yeah.
Silent Running. Mm-hmm. He played with Sting. Eric Clapton goes on and on. My third band, another one that gets lost in the shuffle, 10cc, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Not in love. Yeah, you know the song. Oh, in love. The things we do for love.
These are some classic bands and artists that you're throwing out there. 10cc, man.
Well,
that
was my era, Gary, and I'm not cheating. It was my era, and they just coming like crazy. Mm-hmm. Here's one of your favorites. Last but not least, because I did a little river band. I had them at 5, but that was my first feature. Mm-hmm. Mott the Hoople, man.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, All the Young Dudes is a anthem song, man. And just absolutely.
Mick Ralph's on guitar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mick Ralph's All the Way to Memphis was their first hit. That was a very good song. I had to go back and listen to it a little bit. But, you know, Ian Hunter was kind of his own thing, man. You know, he was different.
Yeah, very much so.
Rico Kasich and the Cars.
Yeah, very much so. Ian Hunter was a unique artist and songwriter and performer, all of that. And but you know the thing about All the Young Dudes, and I know you know this. And Mott the Hoople recorded it, but David Bowie wrote that song.
That's right. And was a great, of course, in addition to being
an incredible artist, was a great, great songwriter. But yeah, but Mott the Hoople, if you know, because we get some people that will text me from time to time, hey, I've never even heard of that band or that song. If you've never listened to All the Young Dudes by Mott the Hoople, go out and listen to it. And don't even try to analyze it until after you've heard it a few times, because the lyrics are heavy. They were written about that time of where we were at in the world. And then, you know, Ian Hunter's vocals. It's just, yeah, it's a classic song. I don't want to spend all the time on All the Young Dudes, but you're right. That is one of my faves. And it is an anthem.
Anthem. You took the words out of my mouth. Don't let me leave one person out. And everybody's important to me, and I know their names, and we text, but that's why I called Tom, named him the sheriff. We'll leave it at that, okay?
Okay. All right. All right, let's get to our first phone call. Punch Steve in Tuscaloosa through. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary. It's me again. I neglected to, when I was talking to you this morning about your diversity of guests, I foolishly neglected to name Larry. Because this is really why I get up every week.
Thank you, man. I enjoyed your call, man. It was spot on. You kind of started this whole trend this morning. You were spot on everything you said. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. But, you know, I'm a 70s guy, just like Gary is, and sounds like he and I sort of grew up in the same thing. I had a musical, mother and sister, Baptist women recorded records, and it was just all around me. When I sort of deviated from the gospel, because I grew up with the Happy Goodmans and the Florida Boys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Johnny Cook, Looking for a City was that. In fact, that was probably the song that just turned my head. I knew I had to know more about music when I heard Johnny Cook singing Looking for a City with the Happy Goodman family. A lot of the callers may not know about that, but it's that was an amazing thing. But my first concert that I ever went to, and I'm not good at dates and years and that kind of thing, was a Buckingham Nicks. Gary, you know what it is.
Oh, Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. Yeah, absolutely. Great album cover, too. That was
it was. Yeah. Well, it was at Barnwell Hall here on the campus. Do you know about Barnwell Hall, the aquatic center?
Yeah, I do.
That's where the concert was.
Really? So it was a small, venue.
Oh, it was. I was. I'm not even sure I had hit puberty at that time, but that was my first concert. So obviously, you know, migrating from there, this is not an obscure band, but you wanted to know what bands affected me the most, and it was obviously Fleetwood Mac. I've read books about them, studied, you know, I didn't study, but all the way back to Peter Green.
Peter Green.
Mick, with Mick Fleetwood and then John McVie and Christine Perfect, you know.
Bob Welch, yes,
absolutely. He's not the pitcher of the Dodgers anymore. He was,
I'm a huge Fleetwood Mac guy too. Even though I will tell you guys this, I might have mentioned this before. When you go to concerts, every now and then, and listen, it does not reflect my love of the band, but I saw Fleetwood Mac on the Mirage tour. And I have to say, it was not a good concert. She was off that night. It felt like Stevie was, I think she was enjoying things outside of music. But anyway, I still love the band. I caught Billy Squire on a bad night, too. I mean, I love Billy Squire, but I caught him on a bad night. In fact, Rat was the opener, and they blew him away. But getting back to Buckingham Nicks, you're absolutely right, Steve. When they got into Fleetwood Mac, of course, what makes that so weird is that love affair between, you know, Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham played out in that band. And of course, Go Your Own Way was Lindsey's, breakup anthem. And then of course, Stevie having an affair with Mick Fleetwood, and the fact that they were able to come back together and perform after that. Lindsey Buckingham is a bigger man than me. Cause I don't know.
My opinion, Mirage was a mistake. That was the last album they ever recorded as the original, Fleetwood Mac band. The McVie twins and Mick Fleetwood, they went on to, do other stuff with other, Lindsey Buckingham, he's just sort of a freak. He went on and did his own thing. But they had some good albums. Their live album is just, I play it all the stinking time. And again, I don't want to take too much of your time. I know it's not an obscure band, but that band had more to do with my late high school years, early college years, more than anybody else. And
if you grew up in the 70s, man, and you're talking about classic albums from the 70s. Rumors is on every list you're ever going to, any list that anybody's ever going to put out, if they follow music in the 70s, Rumors is going to be on.
Gary, Larry, let me ask you this. Have you guys ever seen that the Black Jacket Symphony?
Oh, I've seen them several times. In fact, I introduced them here at the Bama Theater in Tuscaloosa. That's how much I like. They asked me to introduce them for one of their shows here. They did.
Rumors?
No, they didn't do Fleetwood Mac that night. I think they did Hotel California that night. But I've seen them do Journey Escape. I've seen them do Tom Petty, Tom Petty's Greatest Hits. I saw them do Rolling Stones, Paint It Black. I saw them do Prince. I mean, in fact, we need to get one of them on sometime, because if people that don't know the Black Jacket Symphony, they are a band. I wouldn't call them a tribute band. They can play, and their rotation of artists varies depending on the album they're doing and the singers that they're, I mean, when they did the Journey, they brought in a guy from Kansas City to do the vocals for Steve Perry. And he was unbelievable. So, yeah. All right, folks. Go ahead, John.
I went to see him in Birmingham do the Rumors album. It was great. Thank you so much, guys, for this segment. Thank you so much.
Tremendous. Tremendous, Steve. Absolutely tremendous. I tell you what, let's do this because the phone lines are locked in now and lined up. Let's go ahead and take a break, Chase, and we'll come back and we'll have plenty more time for phone calls, Larry. We've got John T., we got Philip, we got Bryce, and of course, we got Raggy Glory in the control room. We'll be back after this.
The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm November day. The sky partially sunny. The high today around 80. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The high 81. Friday, cloudy with a good chance of rain at times. The high 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
All right, 8:49. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, the Larry the Music Man segment, and we've got about 8 minutes, so we're going to rattle through these phone calls. Philip, John T., and Bryce. Go ahead and punch Philip through, Chase. Hey, Philip, good morning.
Hey, a couple of quick comments. I know you pressed.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Little River Band, just an epic concert band. Once they got hot, they were on the road a lot on concerts. They didn't take it easy. They worked hard and were really a workhorse there for a while after they got hot. And then a reflection on Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks. I think one of the coolest songs from Fleetwood Mac that I can remember, and I hum it every now and then, even now, and that's the song "You Got Me Hypnotized."
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Such a fantastic song, and just puts you in sort of a dream state. I mean, especially with Christine McVie. I think she had the vocals, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, Philip, Steve brought up an interesting point. The Mirage album was nothing but a contract obligation. That's what happens a lot of times. Bands are a lot of times you're under pressure to meet that, you know, or you get penalized. Yep. And that album was totally out of sorts. It was almost like, well, a bad football team. But anyway, know, Gary, this music segment lets everybody forget about things for about 30 minutes. Philip and I talked about that. Callers too. It kind of breaks it up, and I think we need that. Everybody be groovy today. Philip, you're a groovy dude, I know. If I could make you a pie and Gary a pie, I would send it to you. And I gotta figure that out.
Oh yeah, let's real quick, while Philip, while you're on. Yeah, I wanted to mention that because Larry and I've been texting back and forth. He is a fruit grower there in Central Georgia, and I didn't realize the amount of citrus, because, you know, like I said before, growing up in Florida some, and we were in the fruit harvest, and we picked oranges and would go to Michigan, pick apples and all that. So I'm a big fruit guy, but he grows lemons, oranges, and it's impressive. It's really impressive. Grapefruits. I mean,
Gary,
it's really impressive.
I think impressive. I can send you some grapefruit and maybe – I can send you some lemons if you want. I'll just send them to the station wherever you want them. But and fill a few too. But they grow. They're cold hardy here, and that's a big crop for farmers that are looking for other things. There's a couple of big Satsuma farms close to me, acres and acres of Satsuma oranges. So and I make pies at the holidays. Is where I was going with that. A lot of people call me Martha, but. I make pies.
Well, you know, let me ask you this real quick. We got to get to other callers, but you get a lot of lemon cream pies, Larry, and but you know, my favorite is lemon meringue, which is done with the lemon being more like the gel. You know what I'm saying? And then the meringue on top. Can you make that?
Grandma made
old fashioned lemon meringue pies, and you can't hardly find them. You can find lemon cream, but I love lemon meringue pies the cream cheese lemon type stuff, but more the lemon gel. Boy, I love those.
Like the banana pudding, the old school.
Yeah, I love those. Yeah. Can you make one of those?
Yeah, I sure can.
Okay.
I do the icebox pies on the lemon pies with real lemon juice from my lemons, Meyer lemons, and the zest. So it's a lot of little things that make it work. It's called the lemon icebox pie.
Mm-hmm.
You can freeze them when you make them and then just give them.
Yep.
You know,
all right, Philip, we got to get a couple more callers on here. Good to hear from you, man. Thank you so much. All right, punch John T. through. Hey, John T.
Hey, first of all, happy birthday there, Ragged Glory. You know what? You dig your birthday. You enjoy and you just absolutely be cool.
Well, he's smiling.
Since we're talking 70s.
You groovy? Are you groovy, John T? You feeling groovy?
Well, you know,
John T.
I'll put it this way: feeling good is good enough.
There you go.
You know where I'm coming from.
I know where you're coming from.
You don't. From the movie.
If you wake up in the morning, you already won.
You
ahead the game,
bro. And listen, hell, I'm a combat veteran, 100% disabled. But yeah, I'm groovy, and I can definitely dig your little garden. Because hell, I do the same thing. You know, hell, I grow stuff to put it up all year long, and hopefully my garden made enough to last because it's spring. But anyways, let's get to the music.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, Sam, this music, I'm, you know, I, you know, people don't think AC/DC is 70s music, but Bon Scott.
Oh, that's when they made their name was in the mid 70s with Bon Scott leading the way. Yeah.
You better believe
it.
They're still going.
Oh, absolutely. But I could throw out some more bands, but I got a question about one band that I remember when I was, oh gosh, this was before I was a teenager, and I had some older cousins. They were really hip on Love and Spoonful, and I really don't know nothing about the band. You know, if you know anything about that band, hell, I'd love to.
Well, I guarantee you, Larry knows all about. I guarantee you, Larry knows Love and Spoonful. So give us the real quick rundown.
You ain't seen nothing yet, but baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. We get into '60s. That's where I cut my teeth. Do you believe in magic? You know what the drummer's name? What his name was?
I know.
His name was Joe Butler. The drummer's name was Joe Butler. Yep.
The only member that I could tell you about would be John Sebastian.
Debuted at Woodstock. Yeah, but man, they were killer. Do you believe in magic? Daydream? Oh, man. You talking about some good music there now.
But, you know, let me tell y'all real quick, though. The main reason I know John Sebastian, though, and he was a great musician, was the Welcome Back, Kotter theme.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it.
How about that?
Oh, Love and Spoonful. Did you ever have to make up your mind? Oh, Lord, they had some hits. Good choice there, John T.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right, well, listen, I got one more band to say just because I dig the guitar player, Mark Knopfler. Straits, man.
Shoot, what you talking about?
MTV
anthem. Yeah, I loved Dire Straits. I love Sultan of the Swing is one of my probably top, you know, handful of rocket songs. Hey, thank you, John T. I want to get Bryce on, and we're going to give Ragged Glory the last word. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, my band, first of all, happy birthday, Ragged Glory. Enjoy your day. 68, you got a couple days on me there, Ragged Glory, about 3 years. Three Dog Night, Ruby Brothers, KC and the Sunshine Band, the Eagles, and Kansas.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
Bryce, you always bring it, brother. You can't beat that bunch right there. Good deal, man. I love, oh, Lord, yeah. You talking about some good ones there. Three Dog Night's probably going to have to be one of my, I know they were big in there, but their name has kind of gotten lost a little bit. I think people need to be reminded just how dadgum great they were.
Oh, they were awesome.
Oh,
hey, great call, Bryce. Hate to cut it short, but we got to leave the last word for Ragged Glory here in the control room on his birthday, celebrating with Chase. And go ahead, Ragged Glory, with Larry, one of your favorites.
Well, you know, y'all, first of all, I do want to say thank you to all of these callers. I love every time they call in, and I listen to every one.
The checks are in the mail,
thank
Ragged.
Thank you so
the
much checks for in this. The mail. Thank you, Larry, for, you know, music in the middle of the week. Thank you, Gary.
We love you. We love you, man.
This is a wonderful, wonderful birthday present. And thank you, Chase, for always piping me through when you can. Going back to the 70s, Right Arm, Farm out of State. Now, can you even translate that?
Oh, I don't even know if I can translate that. Larry, can you?
Yeah, there's a dictionary, man. How about the man?
Oh, yeah. Hey, anyways,
the man.
That basically was right on, far right. Out of sight.
Well, happy birthday, Raggy Glory.
Impacted was the 72 through 76 for me. I do appreciate that, Gary. But I'm going to have to go with Uriah Heep, Pink Floyd.
Deep.
Grand Funk Railroad, and the Moody Blues.
Oh, yeah.
There's four.
Heavy hitters.
And I still got all kinds of other ones listed, but thank you.
All right. Happy birthday, my friend. Thank you, Larry. That's going to wrap it up for a really good show today on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.